Welcome to the We Go Places podcast, where we catch up with WeGo grads who share with us the story of the journey to their unique careers. I'm your host, Brian Turnbow, English teacher at WeGo since 2001, and you just heard intro music from Andy Georgieff, class of 2022. Today, I catch up with the class of 2013's Laura Panicali, software engineer at OptumRx. Laura will share with us how she managed a busy schedule as a varsity basketball athlete at Beloit College with the demands of a computer science major, to then how she then emerged as an ace software engineer at one of the largest healthcare companies in the country. Joining us from the class of 2013 is Laura Panicali. Laura, what do you do?
So I am a software engineer.
So Laura, you left WeGo to go to Beloit College, and you were also a varsity athlete. I was wondering if you can kind of tell us what was Beloit College like, and then get into maybe like what was it like to also be an athlete at the next level.
Yeah, I loved attending Beloit College. So it's a really small school right over the border of Illinois and Wisconsin, like above Rockford area. And I knew nothing about it or didn't even know of it until my junior year when I was getting recruited to play basketball there. And it's a really small school. I really enjoyed my time there. I know when I attended, I believe it had like 1,200 kids, which I know at the time, it was about half the size of West Chicago when I went there.
What was that like being at a college that was like where you could feel that it was even that much more quaint and cozy in terms of its student population?
Yeah, I really liked it. I mean, everyone knew everyone, and the class sizes were really small. When I got into like upper level math classes, sometimes we had like 8 students in them. My computer science classes were usually a little bit bigger, like 20 students. But I think the biggest class I had was like intro level classes, and that still was only like 30 to 40 kids. So, I mean, I really enjoyed that. I felt like I had good relationships with my professors, and they were very willing to help, had a lot of office hours. We even had professors attend some of our basketball games, which was pretty cool. So overall, I really enjoyed my experience at Beloit. Like I said, I played basketball there, which was great. It was a lot of fun. I made a lot of good lifelong friendships through that as well.
What was yours schedule like to have that kind of work that or schoolwork and then sport balance? Like what was a typical day of like practice, but then going to class? Like that must have been not easy, or was it easier because it was so regimented? Like maybe it works the other way too.
So it actually was pretty easy because Beloit had this cool thing where they set aside sport practice times and like club meeting times from 4 to 7 p.m. So there are no classes scheduled during that time. So all of our practices were in that time frame. So I never had to miss class for a practice. And the coaches were super flexible if you were running a little bit late from an afternoon class. So that was pretty cool. And then in regards to games, our college sat in the middle of, you know, the distance for every other college. Like our conference consisted of schools in Wisconsin, Illinois, and Iowa. And my school was right in the middle of all of that. So the farthest we had to travel for conference games was 4 hours, which wasn't too bad. And even the 4-hour trips, we would usually have those as Saturday games. So we would stay overnight on Fridays. So all in all, I probably only missed a handful of classes in my 4 years. Probably only 4 or 5 due to having to leave a little bit early in the afternoon to get to a weekday game. So that was kind of the cool thing about Beloit. And one of the things that stuck out to me when I was being recruited to go there, it seemed like that there was a very heavy emphasis on the academics still, and the opportunity to not miss as much. And I guess so the best The best place that we traveled, I had the opportunity to go on two farther away trips in my 4 years. So my freshman year, we got to go to California, the LA area, for a tournament. So we played two games down there, and then we got to hang out as a team on Santa Monica Beach, and we also went to Disneyland. And then my junior year, this one we took a bus to, so it was a very long trip, the first one we flew to. But we took a trip to Florida and played two games down there and got to go to Disney World. And both of those, we also got to travel with the men's team. We did all of our traveling with the men's team. So that was kind of fun. We all had a lot of friends on the men's team, and it was always cool to watch their games before and after us as well.
Did you know that you were going to go into computer science and when you started at Beloit?
No, I had no idea. I was actually very unfamiliar with computer science and software engineering going in. I actually was planning on becoming a high school math teacher initially. I was majoring in math and education, and then for the math major, we had to take some computer science requirements, and that was my first exposure to it, I believe, late freshman year. And then I continued. I had a lot of interest in that first class, really liked the professor, really liked the curriculum. So then I decided to take more classes the next couple years. And then I decided to add it on as a minor. And then I know you said we were probably getting to this, but then I had an internship in between my junior and senior year that had to do with analyst work for an insurance company for motorcycle and auto insurance. And I decided to try an internship that summer because I was really interested in computer science and excited about what we were doing at school. And I wanted to kind of see it apply in the real world, like apply to a real world internship and see if I would like that route. Because that's what I was leaning towards.
So when you got into the internship, what was the balance between like, okay, you're an intern, we'll let you monitor these things, versus when did you get a little bit more flexibility and were allowed to maybe build the things that were now being used at the company?
Yeah, so about like halfway through, I had expressed my interest and experience and, you know, trying to do some coding as well as analyst work. So they partnered me up with a mentor who kind of took me through that, and I did some coding in Visual Basic. And I enjoyed that. I enjoyed it a lot, and I decided that, I was going to drop the education major and then go on with a math major and computer science minor and look, I guess, for a job for some sort of like analyst or tech job my senior year.
So to kind of go back to when you kind of had the interest and the bug for coding and all that, do you remember when it was where you're like, oh, this is kind of fun, it feels like a puzzle, like there must have been something that felt like you were building and making something that kind of really kind of hooked you in? Do you remember what it was?
Yeah, so we had a class where we were making like dashboards and websites to display data for an ongoing project at the school. And I thought that was super cool to be a part of that and actually seeing like what you are creating and how it can like impact users and people who want to read the data or go on the website.
What were the initial languages in coding that you learn, and then how does it then maybe escalate in terms of its sophistication and maybe learning curve with the languages that you learned while you're at school?
So I started learning in Java, and that was the initial language I learned in, and that's mainly like a back-end language that deals with like data and such. And then, you know, as you go through, then you sort to kind of see how like the back end and the front end like interacts to like what the user can see. So then from there, I believe we did some like JavaScript and React and other front end languages to be able to display the data coming from the back end.
So how long does it take to maybe be able to get that intuition to find that connection between the back end and the front end where you, when you're looking at the actual lines of code, maybe in the back end, but, and then you just know, oh, that'll work. Like how quickly do you get that kind of sense of confidence and intuition?
I definitely got more confidence with it as I did it more, created more things. I don't know. It did take me a little bit to, you know, figure out how all the pieces are working together. And, you know, just understanding the framework and, you know, how it works from like creation to deployment, that takes some time, but it's definitely cool to see and then be able to see like how the back end interacts with the front end to give a finished product.
I remember when I was a long, long time ago, it was probably my first year teaching, learning HTML and going back and forth between, okay, I'm going to try this little line and will it summon the image when I actually then put it back on the web page? It was really fun. I really enjoyed that. But I remember I tried to make the leap. I'm trying to remember which program it was. I don't think it was Java, but there was something that I was playing around with. I'm like, oh no, I need help. And it just like, it stopped like right there. I was definitely got stunted. In your undergrad, was there like a final project or a capstone that you had to complete before graduation?
Yes. So for computer science, it was the dashboard that I brought up earlier. It was a capstone that we like worked on with a group and pair programmed on it. And then for math, for my math major, I also had a final capstone. And for that one, it was a presentation. It was a final presentation that I gave to the department and guests who came. I do not remember exactly what it was about, but I do know it involved math proofs.
No problem. I don't expect you to go over that. That's a long time to remember a math problem. So no problems.
And I did spend a lot of time on that one, but it went very, I spent a lot of time on both of them, but I remember that one. Took me a long time, but it went very well.
I was gonna say, like, so is it, so just so I can imagine, as an English, you know, person, like, are we talking about like one of those like big equations that's like on a huge like whiteboard where you like in real time are you writing out the equation and explaining the logic behind each move, or what is that? I mean, you don't have to remember exactly what it was, but is that kind of essentially what the presentation was?
Yes, I had chalk and I was doing it on the chalkboard. I think it was about a 45-minute presentation too, but I practiced a lot for it.
Wow, that is so interesting. So just so I can imagine, like, yeah, you don't have to remember like the actual equation or all that. So you start with the question or the equation and then you extrapolate on the board and get to the very end of it. But you're basically telling the story, but through the math of it. Would that be a good estimation of what that is?
Yes.
That is.
And I do not remember the question or the problem that I was solving, but.
That's so cool. Oh, wow. Yeah. Okay. So you graduate, and then did you, what was your first job out of school, and what was the job market like when you left?
So I ended up getting my job fall of senior year, which was very nice. And it's with the same company that I'm currently still with. So I didn't know when I graduated from college, I didn't know exactly what I wanted to do. I knew I wanted it to be in technology, and I was leaning more towards like an analyst role. I I enjoyed computer science. I enjoyed coding, but I didn't know if I wanted to be a software engineer at that point. So I found a job. I currently work for United Health Group, more specifically the Optum Rx segment, which is pharmacy prescriptions. So when I applied for the job, at the time, the job title was Technology Development Program Associate. And that really piqued my interest because I was like, I'm interested in technology. And the fact that this is a program, sounds interesting. And basically what it was is you're hired on as a full-time associate, but for the first year, you do 2 6-month rotations in technology and, you know, different areas or departments of the company. So I ended up getting that job and starting, the summer after I graduated from college, in that role. And my first rotation, I got to do analyst work. And then my second rotation, I had the opportunity to do software engineering work. And I really enjoyed I really enjoyed both rotations. But then at the end of that year, kind of, you know, based on demand, and what's going on and what you're interested in, they put you in like a full time placement. So I was able to stay in my second rotation in a software engineering role. And today I am still, in the software engineering role in that department. So I've been in that department for about, I guess, six and a half years now. So what
would you say, how would you describe the difference between what work for what an analyst would do versus software engineering? Or they are different, right?
Yeah. So in my software engineering role, I do a lot more, coding and testing of code than I did in the analyst role. But what is also cool about my current role is I get to do coding, testing, as well as, you know, analysis. So I get to kind of be a part of the process, you know, from beginning to end, and do a little bit of it all.
So how does work come across your desk? Do you have like immediate things that you have to do every day versus midterm projects versus like maybe an annual project that you're working on? How do you divvy up the actual workflow?
Yeah, so we do agile methodology. So we do like 2-week sprints of work. So we usually, you know, work on something to completion, you know, in the 2 weeks, and then go on from there. We have daily meetings, status meetings, as a team. And, you know, we split up the work, to get it done within the 2-week sprint.
How does the collaboration work with coding? Because like, how do you know that your work matches up with, let's say, this other person? That seems like a really abstract idea of collaboration, where it's like, if I'm working, creating, like, let's say, the foundation of a house, or, you know, putting frames up, like we can all see what I'm doing, but code is so unique. How do you know what you're doing is good versus what the other person is doing that might maybe be lacking? How do you test for quality control across a team?
Yeah. So before we start a project or 2-week sprint, we do analysis kind of upfront. And kind of discuss the splitting of the work for that project or that sprint. We also do, you know, paired programming and code reviews and things like that, just to make sure that we're on the right track. And then, you know, after a code is completed, we have people testing it to, you know, make sure it's working correctly and as expected. People on our team, usually, you know, we have a couple people coding one sprint and then a couple people testing. It just kind of, you know, depends what's in the pipeline.
Do you have a preference versus the coding versus the testing?
I do not. I like that I have the flexibility to be able to do both. I enjoy that. And I also think it helps me to learn, you know, business logic as well. And, you know, what the code is actually doing.
How big is the company?
Really big.
And more uniquely, like how big is the technology department for this company?
So United Health Group is very big. And within United Health Group, there's a lot of different segments. So I work in like the Optum technology segment, more specifically Optum Rx segment, which deals with the pharmacy prescriptions. I do not know how many people are in it.
Just, I was asking out of curiosity because I remember you saying that you were working in like the kind of the pharmaceutical wing of that. I was wondering, like, what are the other departments that would also be working in a similar focus, but of like maybe one's, you know, dealing with figuring out finding resources, or one's billing and one's maybe something else, like if there were kind of similar departments but only focusing on something like that.
It's like we do have different departments like that within Optum Rx, and then like there's a lot, like even within Optum Technology, like there's different segments of Optum within that, and then United Health Group has United Healthcare and the different segments of that. So
huge. You're right. There's
a lot.
Wow. Because yeah, so like just, and that's just, yeah, and you're just the ones that are working on code, and that's huge. Imagine this big company. Is there any travel involved with your work?
No, there's no travel. I work full time remote now as well.
Did you prefer the remote work or like a hybrid, or like what do you have? Is there any indication that they'll bring people back in, or is it actually work out better for the company to have you guys working from home?
Pre-COVID, it was, so, you know, before COVID happened, I was working in the office 4 days a week and working from home on Fridays. Some people, you know, would do 2 and 3, 3 and 2. So even, you know, back then it was pretty flexible.
Oh, wow. So you guys were already kind of doing a kind of a hybrid work schedule before.
Yeah. My team that I work with day to day, we're all over the country, as well as like I have some team members in India as well. So all of our calls were usually over the phone anyways. I did enjoy going into the office. And I know some people, you know, have gone back, but it made, you know, the most sense for me at this point to be remote and work from home.
Have there been any newer software or technology that's made your life easier as someone who's coding and doing?
I can't think of any. Nothing specifically is coming to my mind right now, but I mean, technology is always evolving, and my company, what's kind of cool is like there's a lot of training opportunities, especially ongoing. So, you know, learning, you know, different platforms, different languages, different softwares. We always, you know, have time to be able to get more training in maybe areas that would help. There's always opportunities to get training and, you know, areas that we are interested in, and areas that also like help us complete our day-to-day work.
So Laura, where do you think you want to be in like 5 to 10 years in this kind of, in this, do you still see yourself with the same company, or where do you kind of see the next kind of step for you in your career?
Yeah, so I really enjoy, you know, working in technology, and I enjoy, you know, my job right now. I see myself, you know, continuing to enhance my skills, you know, learn more languages, increase my skill set. I do, you know, still see myself, you know, working here. I really enjoy it. I like working in technology, and I also get to, you know, kind of work in the pricing area as well.
Do you see yourself like always being like in that kind of pharmaceutical wing of the company, or might you kind of then also take your skill set and then maybe be in a different kind of department altogether, like as a promotion or just trying to like maybe pollinate your skill set?
Yeah. So I definitely like working in the pharmacy space. But you know, I'm definitely interested in other opportunities as they arise as well.
If there's a student that was thinking about just tinkering around with coding, what would you think, like, what would be good for a high school student to kind of just begin exploring with? Like, what are some of those like initial steps that before they went off to college, what could they do?
Yeah, so there's definitely a lot of good online, resources. There are a lot of good like videos on YouTube and such that are good to follow. There are also some websites. I believe it's called like Code Academy.
Oh yeah, I think I've heard of that.
Yeah, where you can like. It's been a while since I've done that one, but I believe like there are websites out there that you can, you know, kind of try it, like watch videos, learn about it, and then try it. So that's definitely cool. I feel like trying to get some like hands-on experience, even if it's just walking through like an online tutorial. I feel like that's always good to like see if you like it.
Because I did see that you were a coding mentor as well. Like, what was that experience like?
Yeah, that was a pretty cool experience. Got to mentor students. There's like a program that they went through on an online learning platform and kind of got to mentor and answer their questions. And it was pretty cool to see, you know, young students interested in coding. That's always a great thing to see.
Yeah, it's so neat to, because it's what's so cool about coding. It's such an immediate turnaround to see like, oh, I really did just build that. And then you get to play around with it. That's what's so, I think, gratifying about that whole experience. And you got to facilitate that. That is so neat. So, Lord, this has been fantastic. I love learning about this thing that, which is like the other hemisphere of my brain, with so analytical and all that. And I was wondering if you could leave us today with some tips for success for current Wildcats.
I would definitely say some tips to be successful. I would kind of say try new things, maybe things that you wouldn't expect. You might end up liking them and being good at them. I never would have thought back in high school I would be in a career that deals with computer science, mainly because I didn't really know what it was, but I'm glad I got the opportunity to try that and explore that. So I would definitely have that as a tip. And I would also just say, like, always continue to work hard, you know, working hard, you know, in athletics, academics, and, you know, find things that you like and that interests you. And then, you know, that'll help you to become successful.
Yeah. I love that, how you were able to kind of pivot where you thought you had this idea of, hey, I'm going to be a math teacher, but then this other thing just totally hooked you in, you know, and that you allowed yourself to kind of pursue that, and really now it's just been this incredibly gratifying career. I love that. So, well, Laura, thank you so much for giving some time today to learn about this really cool career. I think you're my first software engineer I think I've interviewed on the podcast, which is, I was really excited to learn more about this. So thank you so much for your time tonight.
Yeah, thank you. This was great.
Thanks for listening. Do us a favor and spread the word about WeGo Places by sharing our interviews with other Wildcats on social media. If you want to search past episodes or stay current, subscribe on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, or anywhere where you get your podcasts. Just search WeGo Places. And you can also follow WeGo Places on Facebook and Twitter at WeGo Places Podcast. If you know of a former Wildcat who would be a great guest, send me a direct message on Facebook, Twitter, or even at school email at brianturnbaugh@d94.org.